If you need a Bible this evening, there should be a black hardcover Bible in the pew rack in front of you. And Galatians 6 is on page 1645. Last week we finished up our study through the book of Ruth. And people have asked me, so what's the next series going to be? And it will be along the lines of questions Jesus asked. And I've gone through and cataloged, and I'm somewhere north of 130 so far. That doesn't mean that we'll have a 130-part series. That would be 7 or 8 years worth. But, you know, a lot of them, some are redundant, and the harmonizing of the Gospels, and then working on trying to kind of categorize them into maybe questions that he asked of his detractors and questions that he asked of his disciples, and then select some that maybe would be especially helpful to us. So that's where we'll go. Whether we will be there by next Wednesday or not, I am not certain. It just depends on just having the time to kind of pull the rest of that together. But that's what I believe the Lord would have us do, spend a little bit of time just looking in the life of Jesus when he often would teach by questions, often would confront by questions, but really seeking to stir the thinking and really challenge the faith of those that he was speaking to, engaging with, whatever. And so I trust that those same questions can do that for us, and they can help us to think more deeply about the ministry of the Lord and the things of the kingdom of heaven and all those different things that Jesus sought to teach. So for tonight, and we may come back to this a little bit next Wednesday, I'm not sure, but I want us to look at a familiar text that addresses the principles of sowing and reaping. Some years back, I happened upon a website that had actual pictures taken of product labels for all kinds of different items. And let me read to you some of the examples that I found more amusing. On a hair dryer, warning: do not use while sleeping. Okay, you can figure that one out. On a bottle of dog shampoo, caution: the contents of this bottle should not be fed to fish. On a toner cartridge for a laser printer, warning: do not eat toner. On a toilet bowl cleaning brush, this product is not intended for oral use. Go figure. On the packaging of a whetstone, you know, used to sharpen knives, it says, warning, knives are sharp. On a box of rat poison, warning, has been found to cause cancer in laboratory mice. On a bottle of sleeping pills, warning, may cause drowsiness. On a curling iron, warning, this product can burn eyes. And then there's my personal favorite, found in an instruction manual for a Swedish brand of chainsaw. Warning, do not attempt to stop the blade with your hand. Now, you know, when you read things like that, what you do know is that the reason that those are there is because somebody did that, and somebody probably got sued. You know, the company probably got sued because somebody did that, so they're just kind of covering their base. I mean, they say that every rule, you know, that's ever been devised probably has a story behind it. And, you know, we live in a lawsuit-happy world filled with not-so-bright people, and so companies feel compelled to, you know, put these sometimes unnecessary and even ridiculous warnings on their products. And people do strange things and foolish things, even dumb things. And the courts sometimes reward people for their foolishness, so these companies put their warnings out. Now, tonight we're going to spend a little bit of time in a passage that at its heart is a warning given for our well-being, right? Product warnings really are for the protection of the manufacturer, but in God's Word we have warnings given for our good. And I suppose you could say that we need warnings like this because we do foolish, sinful things. But this isn't a warning from someone afraid of getting sued. It's a warning that God gives us through the Apostle Paul because God knows how easy it is for us to think that we can just kind of ignore what he says and things will be okay. Or that we can make selfish choices and they won't have consequences. Or that we can disregard the needs of others and it won't affect us. And so in our text here tonight, God says, in essence, warning, you know, don't be deceived. You may think that you can make fleshly choices and it won't affect you. But in fact, you will reap what you sow. You know, but as God so often does, even along with that warning, along with that caution, comes a promise. And the essence of the promise is that just as fleshly sowing produces corrupt fleshly harvest, spiritual sowing produces spiritual richness in your life. Now, there are references to sowing and reaping frequently throughout the Scripture, both Old and New Testaments. And often, you know, these terms from the world of agriculture are used as metaphors of our choices in the spiritual sense of our lives. Proverbs 22:8 says, "He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity." Hosea 8 says, "For they that have sown the wind, they'll reap the whirlwind." 2 Corinthians 9:6, Paul says, "This I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." And there's just three of many references to sowing and reaping and different aspects of things that we can learn, principles that we can take away from this basic idea of ordinary earthly life, sowing and reaping. And of course, Galatians 6, 7 through 9 is probably the passage that lays this out just the most directly and in a really confrontational way, but also in an encouraging way. So let's take a look here. Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 7, Paul says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But," and here's the encouraging part, "he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life after everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." I've entitled the message tonight, "The Laws of the Harvest." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we are thankful that you have set us in a world where we have opportunities to observe and learn from nature, to learn, observe from other people. And you give us principles just about the practical realities of life. And one of them is this matter of sowing and reaping. And really, it applies in many, many different ways. It applies in our gardens. It applies in our lives physically. It most surely applies in our lives spiritually. And I pray as we consider these very straightforward, very simple, very familiar verses, that we would pause and ask your Spirit to examine our hearts in terms of how are we sowing? To what are we sowing? What harvest ought we then expect? I pray this would you'd use this to help us to sow liberally to the Spirit, not to the flesh, not stingily to the Spirit, but liberally to the things of God, that we might reap a life of spiritual abundance and joy. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Every time I am involved in a funeral, and of course I was involved in the funeral we held here week ago for Saturday for Brother Bill Rigg. And I'm always reminded afresh that life is short and it is uncertain. I was talking to a former student today who's now in his early 40s, and he commented about how quickly the days and months and years fly by. And we don't know what the Lord might have in store for us, but nothing is more important than building our lives upon eternal realities for as long as God gives us, so that we'll be ready to meet the Lord, you know, no matter what happens today, tomorrow, whatever a day may bring forth. And our text challenges us to think about our lives from the standpoint of sowing and reaping. And it reminds us that choices have consequences and that God can't be fooled. And even though we may fool ourselves, even though we may think we're fooling God, he cannot be deceived. He is not mocked. He sees every heart intention. He hears every word. He knows every action we take. More than 30, 40 years ago probably now, there was a gentleman named John Lawrence. He was a longtime Bible professor at Multnomah School of the Bible. I think they call themselves Multnomah University, but that's out in Portland, Oregon, where our family used to live some years back. And Lawrence wrote a book called Life's Choices, which was really centered around this text. And in that book, he enumerated seven principles of sowing and reaping. And he referred to them as the laws of the harvest. And his own description is these are just kind of down-to-earth ideas and principles that ought to affect how we live. And his insights are practical and insightful. And we could look at these seven laws one at a time over a period of weeks. Maybe someday we will. But for tonight, what I want to do is just put these out before you. And many of you are familiar with these. Many of you have heard them before, given thought to them, maybe even recently. But every time I find myself reading through the book of Galatians, these things always come to my mind. And in some of my Bibles, I've got them written in the margins or whatever. But they are thought-provoking. And they do just, they're common sense. They're straightforward. There's nothing profound, nothing you'd say, wow, man, you never would have known that. No, it's like, of course, that's true. Of course that is. But it really is helpful, I think, for us to really take stock of our lives. And so tonight, this won't be elaborate, but I just want to put some thoughts into your mind, some things for you to contemplate, some things for you to consider, that I trust will be of help and will stir your thinking, and really things like this comes down to each of us is different. We're at a different place, a different pathway along the process of growth. We have different tendencies, different strengths, different weaknesses, and, our needs are different, spiritually speaking. But amongst these different principles, I think there are things here for all of us, reminders, challenges, things that will help us as we negotiate life's choices, the way we live our lives. So let's look at John Lawrence's seven laws of the harvest. Law number one, we reap only what has been sown, right? The essence of it, be not deceived, God's not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now when we say we reap only what's been sown, the point isn't to say that everything that happens in life needs to be traced back to a particular decision or a particular choice that you've made. I mean, sometimes it may indeed seem like things just kind of happen and there's no way to even figure out where that came from. But we understand, this is God's providence. This is God's dealing with us in our lives. And sometimes the choices of others, whether we recognize it or not, they bring a harvest to us. They affect us. So the point isn't to say that, map all these things out. But the point is to say that, every choice you make, big choices, little incidental choices. Obviously, the implications differ for different choices, different decisions, different actions. But in everything that we do, we are sowing. And we're contributing either to something that God will use to bring about spiritual growth and spiritual health, okay? Or we're contributing to things that, where our flesh is pulling us away from God. And then developing patterns and habits and sometimes consequences, sometimes very immediate consequences, sometimes very distant consequences. But we're continually sowing, and we will reap. And if you don't sow to the Spirit, you won't reap of the Spirit. And if you don't sow to the flesh, you won't reap of the flesh. I mean, the point is, what you reap, that you sow. We reap only what's been sown. And Paul's point in this passage is to say that so you need to take your daily decisions seriously because they do have an effect on the character of your life, on the direction of your life, and you are continually sowing. And in time, that sowing, even the seemingly small incidental things in life, not to mention the big ones, they are affecting your direction. They're influencing your spiritual vitality. And Paul is challenging us to live our lives intentionally, is kind of the popular word, intentionality, with purpose, thoughtfully, not mindlessly. Because even little seeds take root. Sometimes those little seeds that are sown can produce a big harvest. You know, many people in our world, including many Christians, almost take a laissez-faire approach to life. That's where you just kind of go with the flow and see what happens. That's the old que sera, sera. What will be, will be. And Paul is saying, no, that's not how it works. Yes, there are things that are outside your control. Yes, there are circumstances that will come along that you didn't influence, that you didn't cause, that you didn't anticipate. Not denying any of those things. But the reality is that the direction of your life is very much affected by how you sow. And if you sow to the flesh, that is going to have an adverse effect. And if you sow to the Spirit, that's going to have a positive effect. So be thoughtful about your sowing. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16, Paul tells us to walk circumspectly, walk looking around, walk carefully, thoughtfully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil, recognizing the temptations that are there, recognizing the spiritual perils, and being careful, and being thoughtful, and being intentional about how we live. We need to be wise, careful, thoughtful in our choices because our sowing matters. It leads to a harvest. Now, that doesn't mean you need to second-guess everything and hyper-analyze everything that happens to see if maybe you're doing something wrong. It's not a call to hyper-introspection. But it is the realization that, you know, the choices I make make a difference, even if they don't seem to make a difference in the immediate. I could stand to miss a meal or two. Not only would it not hurt me, it would probably help me. But if I did that long enough, eventually I'd starve. So even you take simple things like just the matter of spending daily time with the Lord. You know, in the immediate, it may not feel like anything's happening there if you neglect to do that. But keep doing it. Eventually, you starve spiritually. There are consequences that come. It makes a difference. And we need to approach life thoughtfully and mindful that our sowing, that what we do, what we say, how we act, how we live our lives, we're either sowing in this moment and that moment, characteristically to the Spirit, characteristically to the flesh. And it matters. Law number two, we reap the same in kind as we sow. You know, that's the old, if I go out and I put oats in the ground, I'm not going to get wheat. Now, some of you are city slickers, and if you looked at oats or wheat or barley, you couldn't tell the difference anyway. You'd say, I sowed grain, I got grain, you know. But you get what you sow. Just in the agricultural world, that is a truth. And he's using that agricultural metaphor. And he says, here, you know what, if you sow flesh seeds, you're going to get fleshly harvest. If you sow spiritual seeds, you're going to get a spiritual harvest. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. When Paul speaks about sowing to the flesh, the idea is just when you're kind of feeding your own flesh, when you're responding to your own self-serving choices. And Paul says if you do that, you will of the flesh reap corruption. And the word corruption here suggests a gradual decay, not unlike the decomposition of a corpse. And since sin is as harmful to the body as to the soul, you know, I mean, honestly, sin affects us bodily, it affects us mentally, it affects us spiritually, it affects us in every way. And as you are sowing, there's just that continual characteristic sowing to the flesh. You know, there's spiritual decay. There's the corruption that comes through those fleshly choices. And sometimes that fleshly harvest can be really stunningly significant. Sometimes it's subtle, but sometimes it's... Let me give you a familiar example. Okay, let's think about King David, right? first thing comes to mind when you think about King David, hopefully, is that he was a man after God's own heart. A lot of other things about David, but, you know, I mean, the thing that you can admire and appreciate and respect about David is from his youth, he was a man with a heart for God. And even with his occasional problems, God never unsays that. The New Testament refers back to that and says, you know what? This is what God said about David. Okay? So we're talking here about a godly man. But he makes some sinful choices. You know, and when he makes his choice there to go in with Bathsheba, you know, if you had talked to David before he did that, if you had talked to David even after he did that, and said, you know what this is going to lead to, David, is you're going to break every one of the commandments in the second table of the law. David would have said, no, I know this was wrong. That was adultery. That was wrong. But, you know, but if you think about what happens, before the incident's over, David, you know, what has David, well, has he done? He's coveted his neighbor's wife. He's committed adultery. He's conspired to commit murder. He has stolen and he has lied. He's borne false witness. All of those things from a man after God's own heart. And it began when he just sowed to those spiritual, I mean, those sinful fleshly desires in the arena of sensuality. And look at how he reaped. And there were consequences from that, right? About the birth of a child. I mean, all kinds of dramatic consequences. And I will say this, folks. Those of us who are, by God's grace, trying to walk with him, wanting to have a testimony to him, sometimes, you know, when you sow to the flesh, it can be more dramatic even than someone who's just all the time flowing to the flesh. We're not protected. It's not, you know, I've done pretty well overall. That kind of offsets. I can take a little liberty. I can kind of pursue these things of the flesh a little bit because I've kind of earned up some good favor with God. Surely, you know, David had earned up good favor with God, if you want to say that. And when he chose to sow to the flesh, there were dramatic consequences that came as a result. And so we need to understand that every foray into sin and the flesh affects us. And you may not take you down the path to the extremity that it did for David, or it may. And it may not bring about the severity of consequences that it did with David, or it may. But Paul's point here, God's point here is if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap. Eventually, somehow, some way, maybe in the immediate, maybe way down the road, but you are going to reap. And Paul says, don't be deceived. Don't tell yourself that it won't happen. You will reap what you sow. And if you sow to the flesh, you'll reap of the flesh. Now, of course, the great news is if you sow to the Spirit, God promises a harvest too. But the tenor of the passage is one of caution because it is so easy for us to fall prey to the flesh. It's so easy, even for men and women with a heart after God's own heart, those who are unwhole, living for God, it is so easy. And Paul says, don't let your guard down. Be careful. Be thoughtful. Be intentional. Protect your walk with the Lord. Keep looking to God. Ask for him for the grace and help to do things well. Because you will reap a harvest, good, bad. From individual actions, from the character, the overall nature of your actions. No one is immune. We reap what we sow. We reap the same in kind as we sow. Number three, we reap in a different season than we sow. Someone has said that too many believers are sowing to the flesh throughout the week and then going to church on Sunday and praying for a crop failure. You know, they hope that their life choices won't catch up to them. But, of course, they always do. Just simple agricultural rule, right? You sow in these parts in the spring and you reap summer, fall, whatever. It comes in a later season. And sometimes we get into these habits. And we get deceived because the reaping comes later. And we feel like, well, this must be okay because God hasn't stopped me and nothing seems to have come of this. And the flesh begins to take over and we think that we can hide things and that nothing is happening. And God says, be sure. Your sin's going to find you out. Don't be deceived, Paul says. God's not mocked. If you're sowing to the flesh, you will. Eventually. In time. One way or another. You're going to reap what you sow. You're going to reap in a different season. We live in a culture of instant gratification. And that's a problem in and of itself. But maybe a secondary problem of it is that it kind of conditions us to think that, you know, you kind of judge your actions or a situation based on the here and now. And so it's kind of like, okay, so this seems to be working and must be okay. You know, rather than thinking about, it may seem like it's working, but, you know, this is not. You know, I'm going in a bad direction here. And so we tend to kind of judge things based on the immediacy of something. And Paul says, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. You know, in time, there is going to be a reaping for good for those who sow to the Spirit, a reaping of the flesh, of corruption for those who are sowing to the flesh. Or whether it's spiritual sowing or fleshly sowing, we don't always see the crop immediately. That's what makes people a lot of times give up on just the basic disciplines of the Christian life. Because they feel like, well, I did my devotions this morning, you know, I didn't get any divine zap. I didn't suddenly have an aha moment. You know, my day wasn't radically transformed. No immediate results. And they kind of say, what's the point? Rather than realizing, you just keep sowing. And you'll be growing in ways that you don't even realize. Because God's not mocked. God tells you you'll sow, you'll reap what you sow, and you will. Psalm 37:7. Psalmist says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. You know, so what he's saying here is, listen, you're sowing spiritually, and maybe you're feeling discouraged, or you may be feeling like this doesn't seem to be helping. He says, listen, just wait on God. God's at work there. God is doing something. And don't look around at others who are not sowing to the Spirit and say, well, they seem to have things pretty good. I mean, that's a common refrain in the Old Testament. Right? There's Asaph in Psalm 73 where he says, my foot had well nigh slipped when I looked at the prosperity of the wicked. And if this just didn't make sense, it just didn't seem right. And our text says, listen, you know, those who are sowing to the flesh, in time, they'll reap the consequences of that. And everything doesn't rest in the material world anyway. It's more about the spiritual realm. But even in the material realm, we understand that hard work and diligence characteristically pay off. You know, laziness characteristically doesn't pay off. You know, I mean, there are sowing and reaping principles in various aspects of our lives. But the psalmist tells us, listen, you keep sowing to the Spirit. And you keep resting and you keep waiting on God. And God is going to bring a harvest to that. And those who sow to the flesh, they're going to have their harvest too. God will do that in his way and in his time. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. He's not fooled. If you're choosing to sin, your sin will find you out. And if you're choosing to live for God, he sees all that too. And he sees it, I would suggest, anthropomorphically with a smile, right? You know, looks and sees and is pleased when he sees you making those choices. Number four, we reap more than we sow. And I'll give you number five right with it. There's a lot of overlap, and just for the sake of time, we reap in proportion to what we sow. These are not exactly the same, but the idea is similar. When we sow properly, when we sow to the Spirit, we bountifully receive from the hand of God, who is debtor to no man, it's sometimes said. The harvest is always greater than the seed planted. And we talk about you can't outgive God. You can't, you know, if you live for God, I promise you, Jesus, well, our promise is irrelevant, okay? Jesus promises you that, you know, that you'll have an abundant life, a life overflowing with spiritual blessing. Doesn't mean it'll be an easy life. Doesn't mean that you'll be financially rich. It doesn't mean you'll necessarily be healthy. It doesn't mean those things. But you will not be disappointed. You'll have a life where you feel like God's hand is on my life. And this is a wonderful thing. This is a joyful thing. The circumstances, be they good, bad, or otherwise, it doesn't matter. God will always reward with more than you sow. I mean, that's the whole principle of farming, right? If I go out and sow and I only reap exactly the amount of seed that I planted, what's the point? The point is I sow and I get a bigger return. And that provides my seed for the next year. Oh, yeah, and it puts some food in my mouth and some stuff I can sell. The whole principle of farming is that you reap more than you sow. And likewise, I mean, if I plant 100 acres, I'm characteristically going to get a bigger yield than if I only plant 50 acres. That's how it works. And the same thing is true. If we sow spiritually, we're going to reap even better from God's kind hand. And the more that we sow spiritually, yea, greater the harvest, more the impact, more the influence, more the spiritual growth, more all those things that God wants to do in our lives. And of course, it works the opposite way too. The more you sow to the flesh, the bigger the consequences of that. Now, James talks about the tongue, right? He says the tongue is a fire, and how this little fire can just do great destruction. And we see that sometimes. We make fleshly choices, and the corruption that it brings seems almost out of proportion. Now, you think about maybe there's somebody struggling in a relationship issue, and they've been working hard to kind of work things back out. And one angry outburst comes along, and all of a sudden, you know, things just kind of blow up. Well, that's a case of you're reaping this sometimes in the immediate in that sense. But you're also even reaping down the road because it's doing damage to that relationship. And so we reap more than we sow, and we reap in proportion to what we sow. You know, sometimes on YouTube, something will pop up with people who they have way too much time on their hands. And they make these they're not really dominoes, but they'll make these things with stuff that you tip over. And I mean, it would take you about a week just to lay it out, just to map it out. And I can't imagine how many days of their lives are spent setting these things up, right? It's just the right spacing. And I mean, you know, in big, high stacks. And it's, I will admit, I love watching it all go down. But I can't imagine the effort that it takes. But imagine somebody putting a bunch of time into that. And a supposed friend comes along and with one little, you know, can just boom. Everything just goes down in a flash. And how just such a little thing can cause a chain reaction and things like that. And we need to be mindful of the fact that sometimes we do things that we might think is no big deal. And yet ultimately the effect is much bigger. And the implications and the downstream consequences are much more substantial than we might have anticipated. We reap more than we sow. And we reap in proportion to what we sow. Law number 6. We reap the full harvest of the good only if we persevere. The evil comes to harvest on its own. I can't come up with a shorter way to say that. I always thought, come on, John Lawrence. You're so concise. Couldn't you come up with a better way to say that that's shorter and more parallel? But, you know, his point is, you know, here's a sobering principle of life. You know, God's word, as well as the experience of life itself, teach us that we reap the full harvest of the good only if we persevere. But evil naturally comes to harvest on its own. It doesn't need our help. You know, and this is essentially the weed principle if you're a gardener, right? You keep working, and you're sowing, and you're cultivating, and you're trying to prepare that field and cultivate that crop, and you do nothing. And the weeds, they just keep coming back. They just come on their own, and they keep getting in the way. You're pulling them out, and you're fighting them. And if you stop weeding, if you stop, you know, working hard to produce the good crop, the weeds will take over. I grew up living on, you know, the edge of town, and so a lot of wide open spaces, and, you know, used to have cockle burrs, you know, and sometimes you'd come back home and it would just look like you had padding of cockle burrs on your leg, and it would take forever to get those things. You know, nobody's out there planting cockle burrs. I don't know of anybody who's ever said, let's go out and grow some cockle burrs. You know, I attribute that to Adam. Someone said, you know, all that because of one fruit, right? You know, but you know, those things, they just come. And in life, you can be sowing to the Spirit, and if you kind of back off, let down, give up, you know, the flesh just has a way of jumping in there and filling those voids and overtaking these things. And it's important for us to keep this principle in mind, let me say, in connection with number three, which says that we reap in a different season than we sow. And this is especially the case when you're trying, let's say, to rebuild a relationship. And I have seen this, you know, so often. Let's say that there's a relationship and it's been broken by sin and there's problems. And the person who has struggled is genuinely repentant. And they are, by God's grace, doing their very best to really sow to the Spirit, right? And they're sowing and they're sowing, and it just seems like the other party is not responding. And they feel like, God, I'm doing everything I know to do. You know? And the tendency is to just say, forget it. What's the point? You know? I'm trying so hard, and I think God's been helping me, and it doesn't seem to be making a difference. And I have often had the conversation with someone, you know, what you've got here is a sowing and reaping situation. You sowed to the flesh for a long time. And the harvest comes in a different season than the sowing. And you're still reaping from the harvest from 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. You're still reaping from that. And you're sowing to the Spirit now, which is great, which is fabulous. And you will reap a harvest if you keep sowing. But you sow, you reap in a different season than you sow. And so you're wanting that, the immediacy of that response, but you're still reaping from the past. And so the key is you keep sowing to the Spirit. And you keep sowing. And you keep sowing. And you don't quit. And what will happen? Because whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. What will happen was in time, the harvest from your sinfulness in the past will be done. And the fruitfulness from your spiritual sowing more recently will begin to come up. And there can be great victory. But it takes time. And oftentimes in those situations, somebody who genuinely wants to make things right from the past runs out of steam because they want the response now. And I get that. I get that. But the principles of sowing and reaping come into play. You reap in a different season than you sow. And you got to keep sowing and keep sowing to the Spirit, because if you don't, the sowing of the flesh will just take right back over. Verse 9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Right? So we persevere. Law number 7, we cannot do anything about last year's harvest, but we can about this year's. So you can't undo the past. What has been sown has already been sown. Now, you can be honest and you can repent and you can, by God's grace, start afresh and talk to the Lord and say, I see these issues, and by God's grace, put behind you any sort of continuation along that path. But don't be demoralized. Don't be tempted to quit because the response is not coming as quickly as you would desire. We can't do anything about what's done in the past. We surely can sow to the Spirit today and going forward and keep persevering and doing that. So keep sowing to the Spirit, even if you find yourself, you know, in the middle of an old blighted harvest, you know, and recognize that sometimes there's a long pattern of reaping from bad habits. You know, people have substance abuse habits sometimes. And they sow for many years. And they're working so hard. And they're thinking, Lord, Would you just take away these desires? And sometimes he does. And sometimes he doesn't. And they say, why do I have... Well, you sowed to the flesh for a long time. And now you're reaping. But keep sowing to the Spirit. And keep sowing to the Spirit. And you're going to begin to be reaping spiritual things from all of that sowing. And it's, you know, it's a blessing when you see that begin to happen. When people persevere. When people don't get weary in well-doing. When they wait and they see that season that comes when there is a great harvest, an abundant harvest of the Spirit. Because there was a change there from sowing to the flesh to sowing to the Spirit. And that's just all kinds of different life examples. And I can't think of a situation where the principle of sowing and reaping does not give truth, doesn't offer explanation and insight. And what we take away from that is sow to the Spirit. By God's grace, ask God for the help, and keep sowing to the Spirit, and keep sowing to the Spirit, and keep looking to the Lord, and there will be a harvest. And the harvest may not always take exactly the form that you think, but I promise you, there will be spiritual fruitfulness, and spiritual growth, and spiritual exhilaration, and just a sense of joy and confidence in walking with the Lord. As the harvest of those who sow faithfully and steadily to the Spirit. So let's read these seven laws together, okay? We'll say law number one, and we'll read it, okay? Law number one, we reap only what has been sown. Law number two, we reap the same in kind as we sow. Law number three, we reap in a different season than we sow. Law number four, we reap more than we sow. Law number five, we reap in proportion to what we sow. Law number six, we reap the full harvest of the good only if we persevere. The evil comes to harvest on its own. And law number seven, we cannot do anything about last year's harvest, but we can about this year's and next year's and the next year's. So folks, let me encourage you to just maybe spend a little time meditating on Galatians 6 in light of these laws. And I didn't have you read them because there's some great value to memorizing them or something like that, but they are thought-provoking, and they're practical, and they're true. And, you know, you examine your life, and there may be some areas where you say, oh, yes, I have been sowing to the Spirit there. And I've been rationalizing it because of this or this, and I trust that God will help you with that. And if you're on a path where you are characteristically sowing to the Spirit, praise God for that. Keep going. Don't let up. Don't be discouraged. Don't be weary, worn out in well-doing, because you will reap in God's time and in God's way. And in some senses, you experience that as you go, the sense of knowing that God is with you and helping you. But a lot of times, you know, we feel like, it doesn't seem like it's happening. You will reap if you faint not, if you keep sowing to the Spirit. Father, we're thankful for your hand in our lives. And we're thankful that you do give us principles to live by. And then you promise us your Spirit, and you give us your Word so that we can do so. I pray, Father, for each one of us. We can all, I'm sure, see areas in our lives where we are to greater or lesser degree sowing to the flesh. And help us, Father, to just cry out to you for victory in those areas. And I trust that we can all see areas of our lives where we are sowing to the Spirit. And I pray, Father, that we would not become weary, but that we would just continue and we would persevere and we would go forward for you. I'm thankful that you assure us that as we sow, so shall we also reap. Bless us as we spend a few minutes together in prayer now. In Jesus' name I pray.